Let's welcome our comedians today in the Tamaki Makaurau Auckland studio, Tereira and Elizabeth Easter. Kia ora kōrua.
Kia ora. Slightly damp. We're damp.
Dampening has begun. You're bracing, aren't you, for storms about to descend? What's it like at the Mo?
Well, there was a king tide, so there was water coming at us from both directions, both from below and above. It was awesome. I enjoyed it.
Hmm. Except for when you are collecting your feijo, as well, one is, because you don't eat them, Catherine.
I cut my
feijo
down. Cut it down.
I
excised it. Yeah. Gone.
What?
Yeah, I hated it.
What? You don't like feijos?
No, who does?
Catherine doesn't either. I'm one out of three. My gosh. Okay, well, I'm going to stand up for feijos right now. Because right now, in this weather, crawling around on your hands and knees, gathering them every day religiously as one must to stay on top of the huge, short crop.
Sacrilegiously.
I'm going home to make feijo muffins.
Ooh.
Well, I'm not giving you any.
No, I don't want any.
Not getting any.
Glory be.
God, I feel like I'm in the wrong.
Yes, you were in the wrong. Hey, I don't have to fly today, which is good because I don't know that there's many flights going anywhere.
No, certainly.
And there was a dog, and people take service dogs onto plane. I'm just segueing into this because I was so excited by this story.
You still hate
horror.
Feijoas.
I hate feijoas. Actually, I would rather have been on this plane than to deal with some feijoas. A dog, a service dog on a plane,
wow.
People are flying somewhere, they're 20 minutes into the flight, and I don't know how to phrase this politely, the dog
has the runs. Too many feijoas.
Too many feijoas, probably. And of course, you can imagine.
I'm imagining.
So they had to divert back and land, and then everyone, because it was in the aisle, everyone had to stay on the plane while they cleaned it up.
You think they've got two aisles, though, right? So people can be climbing over, unless it's a single aisle flat plane.
Two aisles? What kind of flights do you go on?
Big ones, international ones.
There's a back door quite often.
They could have got some people out. I mean, can you just...
They said, one of the posters on the social media said, cabin crew were very upset.
How do dogs, service animals, whatever, reptiles, you know, pythons, go to the lavatory on a plane? What is that?
Well, they do suggest carrying a plastic bag with you.
And what, fastening it to the back of
it? I guess. Maybe some dog diapers? I don't.
That's not nice either.
I don't know.
It's still going to smell.
One of the passengers said that the smell never quite went away. It will never leave you.
It will never leave the plane. That plane needs to be...
This is the best one. This happened, I think, during a filming of one of those pop competition shows at the Aotea, what is it now, the Kiri Te Kanawa, and there was a group, they had some service dogs on the stage, and during the show, one of the dog had the same situation, but it was a moving violation. It moved across the stage, and I had a friend who was there.
Embarrassed dog.
It's the poor dog and the poor people, but they said you could see it almost coming up the auditorium as individual rows were hit with the wafting. They had to clean it up and continue the show. The show must go on.
There's another scandal, though. Did you see that one where they left some pets and luggage out in the rain? I don't know which who the they is, but
I don't like my luggage being in the rain. Pets, though, don't they cope with the rain? They're in a little box, cage.
Just left them sitting
out
on the
tarmac. But it's not like lost luggage.
Is that a safety thing? Sometimes they're not allowed to go and work out on the tarmac if it's too windy, or they might get struck by lightning.
Oh,
cats are very good conductors.
Are they?
I'm sure.
Well, like, especially a wet cat,
four,
I suppose.
Wet paws on
four
the floor.
Wet paws. Yeah, yeah. Oh, look, there's all kinds of something. Someone will complain about something. This week, look, I've got
call their cat good conductor.
Actually, look, you were so good.
I'm good at
there's a competition. One of those pet. Is it insurance?
Pet food, pet thing.
You can go online. I don't know whether it's close, and vote for the best pet names. There's some crackers. What are your favourites, Elizabeth?
Well, I'm just going to read you out the dogs or the cats. This is just hilarious. So these are the finalists in the dog category. Boots with the fur, Chug Chug Pickles.
That's my favourite.
Little Richard, Simmons Sweating. Little Richard, Simmons Sweating to the oldies.
Yes, that's a good one.
Lord Waddles, Lulu the Conqueror, Molly from Corporate.
Also good.
Oh, yeah. Mr Pizza Puff. Oh, and the news, the news. Can you imagine the cat coming in and going, the news?
Hey, it's the news. I really liked Molly from Corporate. That is great. And there are also some very good some cat names. Balsamic Vin, Meowinase.
Brilliant.
I quite liked.
But all the snake names are stupid.
Boop Noodle.
It's not a serious name for a snake.
I don't even like
snakes. If I was
a snake,
I would be humiliated.
I want to have something called Boop Noodle.
Not if you're a snake. You'd be like, what do you think I have?
I want to go out and start a new relationship just so I can introduce the name Boop Noodle and start calling my new significant other Boop Noodle.
You'd need to get a license for that snake.
I'm thinking more
it's
of a person.
It's a segue.
Oh, thank you. Oh, go on.
Okay, about the water coming from both directions is making my segue game strong.
Yeah.
In Australia, some people raised a magpie that was injured from childhood, from chickhood to adulthood, and with their Staffordshire Bull Terrier, and they became famous on the internet, much like Catherine Chidgey's book, The Axeman's Carnival, but hopefully with much less drama and horror. Anyway, so then the government found out that this magpie was being held by this family without a wildlife license, so they took the magpie away from them. And then there was a huge social media outcry, including politicians and the surfer Kelly Slater. And the magpie looks set to be soon reunited with his family and dog.
Well, they have to, because apparently the magpie doesn't understand magpie etiquette, and magpies are very strong on behavioural etiquette. And unless you're brought up within the family of magpies, we would have read this in Catherine Chidley's book, many other actual scientific magazines about birds.
Constantly.
So that they can't give the magpie back because the magpie thinks it's a dog.
And probably wouldn't stand for being called something like Boop Noodle.
Boop Noodle. I'm going to call everybody Boop Noodle for the rest of the weekend.
Okay.
I've taken up watercolours and colouring in, actually, and I'm really enjoying it. Thank you. Come to it later in life, so I'm more accepting of it. And I find it works really well when I narrow down my colour palette. Don't use all the colours. Just use a limited palette. But I have not got to the stage where I thought my work should be hung on a wall, not in a gallery, but I've never had the audacity to go to a gallery or indeed get a job at a gallery to enable myself to hang surreptitiously my own work on the wall.
Oh,
I love this story. I just love this man. Carry on.
So he's got a job. He's a struggle. Who knows?
He doesn't anymore.
He does. Oh my, that's so wrong. So he snuck in because he could, because he was one of the people that puts the exhibitions up, and he hung in an unused wall. Admittedly, it wasn't like he snuck it into it or took anything down. One of his works, which the gallery refuses to describe or explain what it was, so it doesn't lead to copycat crimes. Yep. But it's like the actual content of the art is irrelevant. It's the fact that he did it.
He did.
Go do it, Radar.
They did. And what he did, because he did it before the gallery opened, someone saw it and went, oh no, and then they had to leave it up for the entire day, and then they took it down. What I find hard to believe is this gallery said, all I can say is we did not receive any positive feedback on the addition from visitors to the gallery, which begs the question, what about negative feedback? Like, if there was no feedback,
bad. Polarisation, art polarises. This is
kind of like an experiment, isn't it, as to what good art is. And I would have loved for that to have gone in there in its own little gallery and to have just ended up with this huge kind of, you know, becoming the actual central focus of the gallery and everything else.
People do.
It reminds me of being, I think it was up at, what's the gallery up at, the Adam Art Gallery up at Wellington. I think it was a Billy Apple or something exhibition. And you ended up trying to work out what was in it and what wasn't. Like there was a kind of a vent.
Light switch.
There was a vent on the wall, and thinking, is that part of this or not part of this?
That's what I enjoy about a gallery. I sometimes enjoy myself standing at something that could be like a piece of infrastructure.
And it's a person.
It could be a person, or it could be a piece of art. And we've spoken at length a number of times on this particular slot around pieces of art that have been mistaken for garbage and thrown in the bin.
I looked her up, the elderly woman who ruined the 19th century fresco in a botched restoration job. You need to see what she did to this fresco, actually.
That's worth
a fortune.
It is worth
a
fortune.
To it.
And who was the artist? It was an artist. They won the prize, one of the Waikato Art Exhibition competitions, and I think they sent all the packing cases down, and they had to and people had to unpack them and leave them lying around, and that was the art. Controversial, but it makes you think, doesn't it?
Well, I have to be honest, she did make an absolute mess of this.
She made an absolute bodge.
She did.
Not everyone can art.
But then again, I think I preferred her version. It felt more human.
And you are an artist, and I think you are, you know, you're capable.
More of a wordsmith.
Hey, so what sort of are you doing paint by numbers? Or
I have done. Yeah. Yes, in fact, I've got some Bob Ross colouring in books. I've also got some classic pieces of art that are paint by numbers.
But you're actually painting things yourself. You're painting freehand. You're just colouring in.
I'm colouring in.
Oh right, sorry.
I have done some freehand. I have done some freehand type stuff, but I'm just really working on my palette.
You should go full Jackson Pollock, like just if you can find a space, you know, and just start throwing paint at a wall. That's what I'd be into.
It's very meditative.
That would be truly therapeutic.
In fact, I hosted a gentleman. He was one of the guys from that movie Bad Girls, but not Bad Girls. Mean Girls. He was in Mean Girls. The little guy. He's American. He did an entire lecture on how watercolors changed his life. And when you look at the world through the medium of watercolors, time is different because you know the color palette changes through the course of the day. Anyway, hey, people have lost their minds. It goes without saying. Wokeness has taken over Scrabble. I like a bit of Scrabble, and now people have lost their minds and say Scrabble is becoming less competitive because they've put on the back of the board, still got your normal Scrabble on the front, but on the back they've put a slightly less competitive game of Scrabble that you can engage in as a team. Socialism.
I'm torn.
Why?
Because, you know, it's like the whole idea is that some people don't like to play competitive games. And I feel like, is this a generation that was given a certificate for participation?
I have been given a participation certificate in the past and I was chuffed. I got a certificate. It's in my CV. I've never used my CV for being on the first sailing of the Fast Ferry between Wellington and Auckland. That's a lie.
I still got it. Is that on your CV?
It's in my CV. Yeah, I don't have a lot of other.
And what does that represent in terms of your skills and abilities?
I mean, that I can turn up to something on time. Got on the ferry. Caught it.
I got most improved player at my tennis club once, and I thought when the ladies who saw me play and saw me get it, they must have thought, God, she must have been terrible before.
You do. When you enter something, you should start off just being pretty average, and then if you radically improve, you can win most improved.
I could have done that on purpose.
But the main point of Scrabble is just fighting over whether the word's a word anyway, and how can you do that when you're on the same team?
Well, that's the point. I think that's the lesson.
It's like an escape room. You all figure out the new word together.
My chair's collapsed.
Oh, God.
Here's the weekend. Hey, look, everyone complains about the fact that car parking spaces are getting narrower and narrower, and very few people have considered the fact that actually the car spaces have remained the same. It is our cars getting wider.
Sometimes by up to 12 centimetres.
Yes.
That's a significant...
20% of people have got in and out of their car through the boot.
Yep.
Astounding. I have two bicycles, and one of them's smaller than the other. And quite often, when I get on the bigger one, I'm like, "Oh gosh, my handlebars are so far away."
Just make sure you don't knock the handbrake off when you're trying to climb over and get out the passenger seat, especially if you're on a hill. Gotta go, team. Have a great weekend. Thanks to Radar and Elizabeth Easter.